a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I am Lee Lonsberry. We started a segment, a recurring segment, and we will continue that through Election Day. And it is a quick look into a day in the life of a candidate. What are the day-to-day activities like as you are seeking elected office? And in today's case, when you are seeking a seat in the United States House of Representatives, how do you go about earning that? How do you go about communicating to your would-be constituents, the various stakeholders, the people who support or who may support, whose support you'd like, certainly, as you seek to sit in the United States Congress as a member? I have told you countless times in the past that I have a very special affection for Utah's first congressional district. I, for almost 5 years, worked as a congressional aide for Congressman Rob Bishop, who last year announced that he would not be seeking re-election. And it was then that many individuals sat back and said, hey, you know what? I think I might be qualified to represent Utah's first congressional district. And so the primary battles began, and the field has been narrowed. We spoke earlier in the week with Blake Moore, who has received the Republican nomination. And today we are joined by Darren Perry, who is the Democratic nominee in the race for Utah's first congressional seat. Mr. Perry, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good to be on your show, Lee.
Yeah, it's been some time since you and I spoke, but since then you have secured the nomination, and so congratulations to you for that. Before we go any further, reintroduce yourself. Who are you? What's your background?
So I've lived my whole life in the first district. My father was a school teacher in the early days, and so we lived out in the Uinta Basin. He was actually Rob Bishop's junior high teacher.
Oh, wow.
So I grew up in Syracuse, lived most of my married life in Weber County, and now I call Providence in the Cache Valley home because it's close to the Bear River Massacre site, and that's my employment, is with the tribe. And up until recently, I've served as the chairman of the Shoshone Nation. So, you know, all of that has kind of shaped my political views and my values and who I am today.
And you think that you are best suited to go off to Washington and represent the people of Utah's first district?
Well, you know, I love Blake Moore. I absolutely do. And I love the tone of our campaign that we both have, because it's a tone that needs to resonate in America today. We can have differences of opinions, but let's sit down and see how we can figure it out and work together. But it's absolutely a problem that he doesn't live in the district and has no... He has no desire to live in the district, and everybody I talk to says, well, how do you do that? How can you do that? And I say, well, state law allows you to do that. So he grew up in Ogden, went to high school here, but he hasn't been here since. And I have been to every corner of this district as a tribal leader. I've had to deal with the Utes out in the Uinta Basin, and our tribal office is in Brigham City. I know rural Utah, and it's just important to me. My values are shaped by the district I have lived in and always lived in and will die in one day. And I just think it's a big deal, this election cycle.
We're calling this segment a day in the life. I get very curious about like the details of the days spent by candidates as they seek office. Talk to us about today. What's on today's agenda?
Well, today, it's interesting because I'm employed by the tribe, and I raise money We purchased the Bear River Massacre site, and now we're raising money to build an interpretive center on the site. So that's my full-time job, and that's what I've committed
to. And you continue that throughout your campaign? You're campaigning,
yes,
and working?
I am. And you know, when I started the campaign, that interpretive center and telling our story is always my number one priority. But I've had to really juggle this. And so this morning, I had an interview with Utah State University's magazine. Comes out quarterly, and they're doing a story on how we are restoring the ground at the massacre site to what it looked like in 1863 with the plants and things. And so I did an hour and a half interview at home about that. And then today's been more of a chill day. But I'll tell you, when I signed up in February to do this, I thought the campaign would look differently. But what I find today is my technology skills are better. But still, I wanted the face-to-face with people. And I think that's a dynamic I thrive in. I have such a good relationship with the legislature, and I spend a lot of time down there. And so being in face-to-face contact with people, having them hear me and get to know me, that was really, really important to me. And so it certainly looks different, and it's not what I signed up for. Right. I signed up to knock doors and meet people and have town halls and have people get to know me, but it's just different, and we're rolling with it. The one good thing I did is I hired a bunch of USU students to work on my campaign on the social media side. They're young, they're eager, their political views are sometimes a little more left than mine. And so, but I love that whole dynamic, and I love the energy that they bring to the campaign. And so, it's just, every day's a little bit different. I took a few hours off yesterday and went up to Park City and met with the mayor and the city council. And that was awesome and beautiful. And we had a great discussion about tourism and what public lands needs to look like. And it would look completely different than the Rob Bishop era. And I've got Rob Bishop on my speed dial. We text each other back and forth all the time because I've had to work with Congress as a tribal leader.
Right.
But our views on the public lands and the environment are completely different. So, it's just different than what I thought it would be, but I'm adapting and rolling with the punches.
Next time you text Rob Bishop, tell him Lee said hello. And answer me this question in parting. Last one I'll ask you. You mentioned the elephant in the room, this coronavirus, the intrusive, annoying, the dangerous and deadly impact that it has had on our country, and specifically in your case, on the way candidates campaign and spread their message. Should you be elected to the United States Congress, is there a role for Congress in combating this coronavirus? And if so, what should be done from the congressional level?
I think the role is provide the funding that they've been providing. It wasn't fast enough, and it wasn't enough for the average person or the small business owner. I think the federal government did a great job of taking care of large business. And I would have loved to see families that are really hurt by this virus, marginalized communities, the Navajo Nation. I would have loved to see more help go to them as opposed to large business.
More money and more targetedly spent money.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the federal government's not the answer for everything. I'm not for a big government at all, even as a Democrat. But I think strategically we need to spend our money more wisely and take care of the Native American culture. We're only as valuable as our most vulnerable. And that's what drives me as a politician today.
Darren Parra, we have to leave it at that. Let that be the last word. Thank you for your time. We're going to take a break right now. And when we return, we're going to set our sights again on Utah County, specifically law enforcement. We'll be joined in just a moment by Mike Smith, Utah County Sheriff, who was himself a part of that large conference call this morning, trying to sort out what the heck to do about this surge in cases, many of them coming from Utah County. Sheriff Smith, my guest next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
I got that hand
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.